So the Torah portion this week is called Mishpatim. And of course, the entire Torah portion is Exodus chapter 21 through 24. So I would encourage you to read the entire Word of God today. Also, for the Haftorah, Jeremiah 33 verses 25 and 26 and chapter 34, 8 through 22. And then Luke chapter 7 verse 1 through chapter 8 verse 3. And if you missed those, they're written on the board and back, so you can write those down. But it's interesting. Mishpatim means judgments. And so it's interesting that we have in our Torah portion judgments juxtaposed to our Brit Hadashah, our New Covenant portion, with forgiveness. Do you see the relationship there? And how, what did Jesus do? When there was a prostitute, did he not like curl his nose at her like the religious leaders did? No, he says, hey, look how much more she loves me because I've forgiven her so much more. And that's something that we need to remember. And so, with that, there's a lot of confusion. There's confusion in many houses of worship, whether they be a Sunday going to meet in church, or whether they be a Messianic congregation, or whether they be Seventh-day Adventist, or whatever. There's all this confusion about law. And it always seems that you always find those who, law, 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 law. It's all law, 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 law. And it's just like, it sounds like they're singing, law, 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 law. Yeah, but you know what? It's much more than just the word law. The word is mishpatim. And the Greek word, dikaioma, which means judgment. And you know what? This concept that some people have, there's this teaching go around about, well, Old Testament is about la, 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 la. I'm going to go with it, okay? It's all about the law. But the New Covenant, the New Testament, it's all about grace. And there's this dividing page right in the middle. And everything before the dividing page, before it says New Covenant or New Testament, that's all law. And everything is all grace. And they derive it from a couple of verses like Galatians 3:23. It says, now before this faith came, we were held in custody and carefully guarded under the law in preparation for the faith that was to be revealed. And the Apostle Paul continues in chapter 5, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so sadly, some teach this concept and use this as a justification to do whatever they want according to the Word of God. So I ask the question, is there a valid point here? Let's look at law. You know, the law, the word law is mentioned in some translations, 275 verses in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. 220 verses in the New Testament or the Brit Hadashah use the word law. But the Hebrew mindset, you can't just lump it all into one thing. You know, there are different types of laws. We see the mitzvah. We see the mishpat. We see the chuk. We see the Torah. Commandments, judgments, ordinances, statutes, or instruction. And there's a huge difference between a mitzvah and a judgment, right? There's a huge difference between a judgment and a statute, and a huge difference between a statute and an instruction. So we need to get it right. So the Scripture makes a differentiation between these type of laws. And I found a verse in Genesis 26, verse 5. It says, because Abraham obeyed me, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So we see those words, why didn't God just say, Abraham obeyed my laws? No, we see a differentiation there even in Scripture. So it's important that we look at these things. So the first type of judgment I want to talk about, or law I want to talk about, as many of our Bibles translate, is the mitzvah or the mitzvot. And in Greek, the word is entole. And it's interesting is that I love historical documents, especially a document called the Septuagint. You might see it in your Bible as LXX, which stands for 70. What is the 70 all about? The 70, these guys were Jews who had an understanding of the Greek language, and several hundred years before the Messiah appeared on the scene in history, they translated the Tanakh. They translated our Old Testament into Greek, and they placed hundreds of copies in the libraries at every Alexandria that there was. You had an Alexandria that was in Egypt. You got one. they wanted to name everything after Alexander the Great. So, oh, let's have Alexandria, which is the center of Greek culture. And what did they put there? They put hundreds of copies of the Old Testament in Greek there. And so with that, what that provides is a couple of things. First, it provides for us documented proof that the prophecies about Jesus were written before Jesus came and not after. The second thing is it also gives us an understanding of what the Hebrew concept behind these Greek words really mean. And for you guys who know me, you know, like one of my favorite words is chesed. Because chesed is translated as grace. But yet they took grace out of the Old Testament. And they replaced it with words like mercy, which mercy should have been rachum. Or loving kindness, which, you know, you type loving kindness in your Word document, it shows up as a misspelling, you know. It's just like, chesed is getting what we don't, you know, is getting what we don't deserve, and rachum is not getting what we do deserve, as far as punishment goes. God gives us grace. And so with that, we have to look and say, okay, well, what about these things now? Because everyone's talking about la, la, la. Shouldn't there be a consistency between Genesis 1:1 and the book of Revelation? I say yes. Why do we have to change the words because there's a page that says New Testament? And in fact, I was talking with a pastor the other day, and he's just like, oh, I hate that page. I encourage people to rip it out because it's all one book. And so let's translate it the right way. So with that, let's look at the four different types of law in the Scriptures. Okay, so this commandment, mitzvah, the Greek word is entele. And this is a mandate that comes from Hashem, and it's referred to by Yeshua as a good work or a good deed. A mitzvah is a good deed. Got to do a good deed. And listen to you know, the foundation of good deeds. It's in the book of Matthew where the Pharisees challenged him and said, hey, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest mitzvah? And what did Yeshua do? He quoted the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your resources. And the second commandment's like it. Number two is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. It's a good deed to love God. It's a good deed to love others. And Yeshua goes on to says that all the Torah and all the prophets depend upon those two things. It looked like Richard Nixon there for a moment. They depend for those two things. Yeah. Those two things. Loving God and loving others. It's a good deed to love God. It's a good deed to tell the truth. Right? It's a good deed not to steal. It's a good deed to assemble yourselves together in worship. It's a good deed to respect the God-given authorities in our lives, right? Those are good deeds. And that's what a mitzvah is all about. That's what a mitzvah is, to love. Now, the second type of law is a judgment or ordinance, and that's based on the word mishpat or mishpatim is the plural of that. And this comes from the word, the root word shafat, which means to judge. And this is best understood as a legal judgment that have been ruled upon by a court of law. And you know, when you think about that verse, I know a lot of times when I see people who are feeling convicted about something, they'll immediately start piping off that verse. Judge not, lest you be judged. Well, you know what? I'm not making the judgment. This isn't a court of law. God's going to judge you. God's going to hold you accountable. And I'm just concerned that the things that you're doing, He's not happy with, and I want to see you blessed. So I'm not judging you. I'm here to help you. Yeah, I'm here to help you. And that's what we should be. We should be here to help. And the Greek word for judgment is dikaioma. With that, I found that in Romans chapter 5, it says, nor can a free gift can be compared through the man who sinned. For the sentence that follows one man's offense brought condemnation, but the free gift brought justification after many mishpatim. After the breaking of God's rules. After the breaking of the Ten Commandments. And so, what is our job? Our job is to share the free gift with all those who have broken the mishpatims of God. Because guess what? We've all done it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have violated God's mishpatim. They've violated God's dikaioma. We've all done it. And so our job is to make sure that people are not held in judgment, but they receive that free gift of God that comes through Yeshua HaMashiach. The next type of law is the statute. And sometimes in our scriptures I find it translated as, you know, mistranslated as judgment. But a statute is much different than a judgment or an ordinance. And that's from the Hebrew word chuk. And or I find it interesting is that the Greek word is krisis. Sounds like crisis, doesn't it? I've got a krisis going on here. There's a judgment. And really, I think about it because when you think of a krisis, you think of, I think of that. We've got something going on in our mind. We can't rationalize. I've got a crisis in my head because this is the type of statute that there's no rational explanation for. God just says it. We need to do it. And that's a chuk, that's a krisis. And John 8:16 uses the word krisis. It says, "Yet even I should judge, my judgment will be valid, for it is not I alone who judges, but I, the one who sent me." And that's Jesus. He's sitting here saying, "Hey, you know what? Sometimes there's no rationalization, but they're going to be judged. Just do what I say. Just do what I say. Don't ask why. Just understand it's beyond your understanding." And it's okay. Aren't you glad sometimes that God is outside our understanding? Aren't you glad that God doesn't have our limited brains to make decisions? Oh yeah. And so that's the word krisis. That's the third type. That's the third type based on chuk. And of course, the fourth type that's translated law, and I hate that they translate this law because it has nothing to do with law, but it's the word Torah. Torah, the Greek word being nomos, which it doesn't mean statute or judgment or law or ordinance. It means teaching. It means instruction. It means feeding. Something we can consume. And so, with that, there's a verse in Romans 10:4 that many of our translations sadly have mistranslated this verse. This verse says, "For the Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Horrible translation, because when you look at the original languages here, it should read, "The Messiah is the telos of the Torah." Telos means goal. Jesus is the goal of the teaching or the feeding for righteousness to everyone who believes. Our goal should be like Jesus' goal, right? To do the instruction that's in God's Word. And so, what lesson can we derive from all this la 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 la? What lesson? And really, the lesson that we see here is that if it's an instruction, let's treat it like an instruction. Hey, this is what God has taught us. This is what God wants us to do, and we can't explain why we have to do it. Let's do it. This is something that we're going to be judged by. Ten Commandments are judgments, right? We're going to be judged by the Ten Commandments. So let's make sure that others can receive the salvation by grace, so they won't have to have the eternal judgment, because we've all broken one. At least one, right? The wages of sin. Notice it's a singular word. It's not a plural word. All you got to do is violate one, and you're done. But praise God, we have that free gift through Jesus. And so think about these things, because really, the Scripture, since all Scripture is inspired by God, we need to be doing all the things that God wants us to do. And the reason I find that some people start talking about law and you're so legalistic and this, that, or the other, is many times it's because they feel guilty because they're not doing what God wants them to do. So there's a deflection that takes place, and I've seen that before. So what is the lesson that we have here? Here's our lesson. We are supposed to be like Yeshua and make the lifestyle of Yeshua our goal. And I think in the 90s, remember that WWJD? You know, we always joke around, worldwide Jewish domination. But really, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Yeshua do? And really, when we think of our lives in that perspective, and we run that through the filter of our lives, well, how are we going to love? Because what does Jesus want to do? He's going to love somebody. So how are we going to love them? Well, let's follow Jesus' example in love. Oh, well, I can't. That person is a horrible sinner. Well, what did our example in the Brit Hadashah in Luke say today? She's been forgiven. She's really loved. She's really loved. And who are you to get in the way of the love of Jesus? Are we supposed to get in the way of the love of Jesus? No, we're supposed to spread it. Amen? So, this last verse here that I want to read is from John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. It says, "Truly, truly, I tell you." And we know that when we see that truly, truly, or verily, verily, we are really supposed to be paying attention because, hey, this is something that God wants us to not only just acknowledge, but He wants us to make it a part of our inner being. "Truly, truly, I tell you, the one who believes in Me will also do the works that I am doing."
Amen.
Yeah. You will be doing the works that God is doing if you truly believe in Him. Yeah. "He will do even greater works than these because I'm going to My Father. I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I know there's some out there who teach this verse and say, hey, this says that whatever God's going to, you know, whatever you ask for, God's going to give it to you. No. This is not a lame and name it and claim it passage. Or blab it and grab it. What is this passage? "Whatever you ask in My name," and what's the precursor? "So that the Father may be glorified."
Yeah.
We're not asking for a Lamborghini so we can, you know, "I want a Lamborghini so I can glorify the Father." No. Barb's back there going, "Rabbi, ain't happening." The Father, yeah, but you know what? There's things that we do ask for in the Father's name that He will be glorified. I mean, how many times did we offer up a prayer for Seth up the hill here? That he would get saved. And that is aligned with the will of the Father, right? The Father is glorified because he was saved. Amen? Yeah, we need to line ourselves up with the kingdom of God. And so he continues, it says, "If you ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it." So let me read that whole thing. "I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will, if you ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it." So those are the prerequisites. It has to glorify the Father and it has to glorify the name of Jesus. And then what does he continue with it? "If you love Me, do whatever you want." Is that what Scripture says? Some of you are looking at me going, what? No. "If you love Me, keep the ones you like." Well, you know, it's kind of hard to love that neighbor, but I can love that one over there. No, that's not what it says. "If you love Me, keep." And the Hebrew word is shomer, which means to guard from corruption at all costs. If you love Me, if you love Yeshua, guard from corruption at all costs. His what? His commandments. His commandments. His commandments. And how do we guard from doing that? And we talked about the Ten Commandments last week. For doing His Ten Commandments. For displaying His Ten Commandments. Well, Rabbi, what about the other 603 commandments that are in the Old Testament and the 484 commandments that are found in the New Testament? Well, aren't those pertaining to holiness and not righteousness? So, those other commandments, since they pertain to holiness, is it our job to tell other people about holiness? Oh, well, you have to be kosher. No, the Scripture doesn't say you have to be kosher. Oh, you have to be circumcised. Oh, you have to do this, that, or the other. Oh, you have to wash your hands this way? No. Those are commandments about holiness. And whose job is it to tell us what's holy? The Holy Spirit? No brainer there. But with that, but when it comes to God's commandments, His Ten Commandments, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, and you shall have no other gods before Me. Don't make any idols. Don't take My name in vain," which means have a bad testimony, right? "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy." That means get together in fellowship with believers on a consistent weekly basis. Honor our parents, respect the authority that's there. Right? Those are all pertaining to loving God and keeping His commandments. And the other commandments, the other five, those pertain to loving others and displaying the commandments of God on how we treat other people. You know, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to have an affair with their spouse, right? If you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie to him. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to cheat them. You're not going to, you know, when they get something, you're not going to like loathe it. Oh man, that's not fair. They didn't deserve that. And that should have been mine. No, what does God want us to do? When somebody is blessed, God wants us to rejoice with them. Amen? Because what? Every good and perfect gift comes where? From the Father of lights. From God our Father. And so with that, let's remember that if we love Yeshua, let's keep His commandments. Let's keep them from being corrupted. And thus, through keeping the commandments, we can share the love of Jesus with the lost and dying world. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment.